I want to talk to you about the goodness of God. Look at the 103rd Psalm. I was thinking all week about that verse, the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. I believe if we understood the very nature of an almighty God, that we could receive from his hand. Sometimes theology, religion, has given us such a wrong concept of who God is, what he's like, and what he'll do, that it makes us reluctant or hesitant to receive. We're not sure he can be trusted. You know, if you weren't sure I could be trusted, we worked together and I was constantly by your side, but you didn't know if I was going to help you get your work done or turn you into the boss for something you may or may not have done, you'd be watching me all the time. What is she going to do? Is she on my side or not? Well, the scripture says that God's on your side. Now, anybody that's on your side is there to help you, to benefit you. Well, there's been a wrong conception in much religion that it would benefit you mightily if you got hit by a car. Maybe cancer, that's a great benefit. And it seems if God's sometimes good and sometimes bad, sometimes up, sometimes down, he can't be trusted. And yet when I go to my Bible, I don't find that concept in it. Right. Oh, thank God it's not in there. Amen. It says the Lord is good. Yes. The Lord is good. Yes. The Lord is good. Yes. If I set before you two dishes, I took them out of my refrigerator, and one had green or some of my favorite colors, the pink stuff that grows, you know. I don't know why we save it. We save it so that later we can throw it out. And I set those two dishes before you and it had green growing things or pink things across it. You'd know the difference. I wouldn't have to tell you not to eat this, but to eat that. Because you could look at them and tell. But when I look at the scripture, I can tell what God is like. I know what he's like. I know he wants to benefit me. Now in the 103rd Psalm, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. You couldn't hardly bless a God that's going to run you down. You got to be kidding. Even where I was raised, we knew to be run down, run over, down, trodden. Spit on's not a blessing. If I'm going to bless the Lord, it's because he's on my side. Oh, if God before me, no man stands against me. Now that doesn't mean they won't come against you. It says no man stands against you. Stands. Having done all to stand, I'm standing. But if you come against me, you won't be standing. Because God's for me. I belong to him. I came into the kingdom. I walk in the light. Well, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Now that word is plural, benefits. If you went to get a job and they're going to pay you $20 an hour, and that's more money than you've ever made, why, you'd be grateful. You'd think, this is great, this is wonderful. But they told you now there's no sick time, no paid vacation, no health insurance, no life insurance, no disability. The only thing you get is your $20 an hour. There is to this job a benefit. Well, I'm glad for the one benefit we get. We step into the kingdom, we have eternal life. But I sure am glad that's not all there is. That when we step into the kingdom, we have life and life more abundantly. And more abundantly means superior in quantity and quality. Means plenty of the very best. Benefits. Ephesians 1:3 says, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now, is he a blessing or does he bring blessings? See, I have to read and believe. I have to look at the scripture and know that this is right. This is what God said. This is what God said. Now, in the 103rd Psalm, it's going to give you some of the benefits. If I offered you a job and said, I'm going to pay you $20 an hour and you'd never made that much, and I'm going to give you 2 weeks paid vacation and one sick day a month, I'm going to, at company expense, pay 50% of your health insurance, give you very, very low-cost life insurance, provide you with disability, a company car, and for every sale over $1,000, a 50% commission. Oh, that's a job! My, you'd go home and you'd say, you will never guess. You will never guess all they're going to do. I'm here to tell you, you will never guess. Unless you can read. all God's going to do for you. I mean, he is going to do great, mighty things. He's going to put you over. He said he'd make you the head, not tail. That means he's going to put you out front. That means you're the winner. Now he said he's going to forgive you. And I appreciate forgiveness. I'm glad for forgiveness. When you step through the kingdom, you got remission. That means that's an erasing or blotting out. There's no record of your past. And that's a great benefit. Salvation, the new birth, is the foundation of all benefits. It is the blessing that brings us a multitude of other blessings. Now, if I sent you to war, if there was declared war, as there was in World War II, and I just gave you a handgun, said, do the best you can, hang in there, hope it works out for you. But if I sent you out and said, how many soldiers do you want? What kind of weaponry do you want? How many tanks do you want? How many airplanes do you want? How many bombers do you want? How many ships at sea on call? If I said, what do you want? That's what God says to you. You remember the story of the prodigal son? He said to his dad, I want what's coming to me. And he took it and he wasted it. He comes home. The father receives him gladly. He said he had compassion on him. Oh, I love the Lord's mercy, the Lord's compassion. I was looking in Webster's dictionary. You know, I'm a teacher. And teachers love dictionaries. And compassion, it says, that for which you have an urgent desire. Urgent. That means there's something I want to do. Every fiber of my being wants to do something on your behalf. I want to. It's urgent in my heart. If there's some way I can help you, some way I can bless you, some way I can put you over, let me do it, let me do it, let me do it. And says he had compassion on him. And he didn't receive him as a servant. He was willing to just be a servant, but he received him with a ring and a robe. That means he made him part of the royal household. Now, when the brother came home, he's offended. Religion's always been offended by the blessings of God. Somehow poverty humbles you and causes you to grow. I never have quite figured that out. Everybody I've seen that falls into abject poverty gets mad at God. I didn't find they were humbled or growing. Usually mad. Religion doesn't want you to be benefited. Doesn't want this great God of glory to do anything on your behalf. Doesn't want him to stand by your side. Doesn't want him to put you out front. Doesn't want him to make you the head. But deep on the inside, I have the Holy Ghost. Now look at John 16. Let me show you what he'll do. This elder brother is offended. See, it looked to him, if you've been ugly and you've been unkind and you've gone astray, then instead of being blessed, somebody ought to hit you in the head. He didn't think partying was a good idea. He wouldn't even go to the parties. I'm not coming. You ever felt that way? I'm not coming. And the father, see, the father wants you to be blessed. He went out to get him. He said, oh, come on. I see God's people wandering in the darkness of wrong thinking, wrong theology, wrong believing. I see them struggling and oppressed. And I hear the Father saying, oh, come on. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus. I hear his voice calling out into the darkness. Becky? Becky. And he went out to get him. And he said this phenomenal thing, which the scripture validates over and over. He says, all that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. Benefits. Benefits. Every spiritual blessing. Well, in the 16th chapter, in the work of the Holy Ghost that's given us here, says verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, he shall speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Means the Holy Ghost is going to open up to me to show me the benefits of heaven. Says he'll receive from God the Father and it's going to show it to you. Yes. Now he's not showing it to you so you'd be properly informed. Mm-hmm. But it's so you could stand in faith and reach out and receive. Mm-hmm. Years ago there was a little lady we used to visit. She's since gone on to be with the Lord. And she had lived in the same house since the turn of the century. And she had marvelous things, you know, stuff. She had been a housekeeper and a nursing assistant in many homes. And when the people she sat with would die, she would be the beneficiary of a lot of their things. And she had comb and mirror sets that would put your eyes out. Shoo! Not the plastic kind in the pink frame that you get down at the drugstore. I'm talking real. Well, I had seen all her things. I'd go visit with her. She had a bedroom set that everybody would ask about. Have you seen the bedroom set? Well, I was one of the few that got to see it. But if she thought you were coveting her things, that you were taking a survey, that you might want some of her stuff, let me put it the way I was raised. She ain't going to show you nothing. Now, what would be the purpose? The Holy Ghost, it says, it's going to take from the Father and show it to you. What's the purpose? He's saying, this is what you can have. This is what I'll do for you. Here's what's available. You know, blessings begin when I know what's available. The first time I taught divine healing, I didn't know they were going to ask me to teach healing. I did know they were going to ask me to teach. And the Lord had instructed me that someone was coming to ask me to teach, and I should say yes. That's in the late 70s. So they did come, and I said yes, and then they said, here's a lesson for today. Well, I about fainted. It was on healing. I had never heard of healing. I mean, never. I'm talking never. And I said, oh, I can't do it. Couldn't possibly do it. I tried to renege, tried to back out. I said, no. And they just insisted. Well, if the Lord hadn't dealt with me, thank God for the Holy Ghost. He hadn't dealt with me up front and said, somebody's coming to ask you to teach, I want you to do it, I would have backed out. But I had that in the back of my thinking, seeing in my heart, the Lord said, somebody's coming to do it. So I decided, because I'm an honest person, I'll do this like a book report. I'll say, this man said, and this man thinks. This man believes. That way I'm not committed, see. Because I don't know if God will heal you or not. I don't have the foggiest idea. She said, just cover the basics. I said, like what? She said, does God heal today? I said, do we know that? The reason I didn't get healed in 30 some odd years of living at that point is because I didn't know it was available. Come on. I didn't have a clue. See, if you're going to be blessed, you've got to see what the Holy Ghost sees. You've got to look into the hand of God. What's available? Faith begins when I know what's available. The psalmist said, God opens his hand and they're filled with good. Now, when you approach a little kid and you got a hand, they know. They say, look what grandma's got. They know it must be candy or money. It used to be pennies. And then Ashley got old enough, she'd say, now, Mama, I don't want those brown ones. Too quick, they wise up. Now she's 7 and she says, I'll dust for a dollar. I know the day's coming when she'll be by. She won't even want to dust. She'll just want me to give her 20. And you know what? I'm going to do it. Because I'm a blessing. I'm a benefit to her. And when I open my hands to her, they're filled with good things. Now God comes to you with an open hand. Why? So you can see what's in them. So you can make a choice. So you can choose. What do you need? What do you want? What would help you? What would put you over? I said, Holy Ghost, he who lives on the inside, I am temple of the Holy Ghost. I am bought with a price. Christ in me, the hope of glory. You know why people act so strange when God's moving? Because God said, I'll walk in them. And when God begins to walk on the inside, something happens on the outside. So don't bother me, I feel movement. I feel God walking. Now, why would God do that? Years ago, they asked me, a lady came to the church, asked them to do something that they could not do. And they said, we can't help her, but while she's here, would you find out if she's born again? And I said, sure. So I gave her my best explanation of the new birth, and she didn't have a clue as to what I was talking about. I mean, not a clue. The only other time I faced that was a little boy from the Orient who was raised, and he didn't know the difference in a church and a university. Didn't have any idea. Well, this little girl didn't know what I said. So I backed down. I thought, well, I'll give her a simpler explanation. So I did. I thought I did. And she just stared at me. She didn't know what I'm talking about. So not to be defeated, I said, did you know God loves you? She said, why? I thought, my, why is that? My, I believe I could have done better answering a question on the rapture. I said, why is that? See, the Holy Ghost in here, he knows all things. Now I'm looking at her and she's looking at me and I'm saying, Holy Spirit. I'm talking to God. Said it'd be a good time to take a walk, speak up. Oh, he's in here and I'm so glad. He prompted in my thinking all I'd read in the paper about men on death row and when they go to execute them. I told her this story. All the family gathers, mama comes. In fact, there was one famous case many years ago that they were going to execute him several different times. And every time he came up for execution, he'd get a stay of execution, eventually got a life sentence. But his mama would always come. That's in the paper. His mama would always come. I said, now, why did mama keep coming? I mean, if you had read what he was convicted for, it was horrific. And here comes mama. Why'd she keep coming? Why didn't she kick him in the shins? Why didn't she spit on him? Why didn't she turn her back on him? This little girl knew. She looked at me and she said, that's her baby, isn't it? You know, in the Garden of Eden, when God created Adam, he saw the day when you would be born. Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, before I was born, you saw me. You know why he blesses me? I'm his baby. He made me. He created me. And in the Garden of Eden, he wanted the very best for Adam. Every single day, he said, oh, this is good. And he'd create again. He said, oh, this is good. And he came to the end of creation. It said he surveyed all that was created. He said, this is very good. All that he did for Adam was really good. Now, Adam made wrong choices. See, he could have chosen the tree of life. It was available. Adam's sin was not an eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That wasn't his first sin. His first sin was turning his back on the tree of life, not running for that tree and becoming a partaker of the divine nature. It was available. You know, in Hebrews 11, I heard a minister say this. I like it. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And somehow in our thinking, we think, if you're not in faith, God's mad. He said, that doesn't say God's mad. It says he's sad. And I looked at that verse. And if you had a vast estate and you left it for your children, and because of disobedience, maybe a breach of law and a long prison sentence, your child couldn't receive what you had for them, you wouldn't be mad, would you? Be sad. Since God opens his hand to us, and they're filled with good. Says he daily loads us with benefit. You know you eat every day, don't you? Anybody want to skip a day? Most people. I said, oh, Lord, you're not going to ask me to fast, are you? Really, we're not going to do that, are we? Nobody wants to skip a meal. Everybody wants to eat daily. Every day, in fact, three times a day. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, and then probably before you go to bed, a light snack. Don't you want a daily load of food? God said he could load you up daily. Load you up. Load is a great word. We have acreage and we've had a multitude of dead trees. Well, you can't ignore them but so long because they come crashing down. So we had two or three come crashing down, and so Wayne's been taking out the dead trees. Well, I didn't know, but you have a limit of refuse you can take to the county dump. And so we went two or three times, and then the third time we came, the man said, "You've already surpassed your limit." And we were loaded. I mean, loaded. That truck was weighted down with tree trunks. I mean, loaded, loaded. Well, what are we gonna do? Go home, dump it on the property? You gotta be kidding. You know how long it takes two old people to load a truck? I'm telling you, the team of Cumbie and Cumbie don't work as fast or efficiently as they used to. And I said, one thing the team of Cumbie and Cumbie never going to do is paint the house again. I said, you can forget that. We're saving our money and hiring a painter. I mean, we were loaded. That truck was full to the brim. But the man said, well, if you would pay, you can pay for the excess poundage. Well, that was a good deal for us. We'll pay. We'll pay. But when you come into the kingdom of God and he opens his hands to you and the Holy Ghost begins to show you what's available, it doesn't matter how much you withdraw from God's arsenal, there is never any payment involved. Never. Now, why does he do that? God so loved the world that he gave. This world is not my home. I've been in a singing mood lately. I'm just passing through. Now from that song, you might get a hint that everything, every blessing's on the other side after a while, by and by. Well, I tell you, I'm thrilled about the other side. But I found out in 1 Timothy, it says, all that will live godly. Isn't that you? Aren't you going to live right? Aren't you going to honor God? He said, be you holy for I'm holy. You know, one reason I didn't get in trouble as a teenager, not too much trouble, is because my parents loved me so much. And every time I'd think I might, you know, we weren't allowed to play cards, go to movies, wear shorts. That's how I was raised. And every time I'd think they wouldn't know, oh, I think, no, I can't do it. You know why? I didn't want to disappoint my daddy. I love him. I didn't want to disappoint my mother. And I think, oh, no, I can't do it. Well, since Jesus did always those things that pleased the Father. What a statement. And when I see he wants to daily load me with benefits, he wants me to see everything that's available. He wants me to reach out and be blessed. You can't be a blessing if you don't have anything. I appreciate your kind words, but sometimes people need more than kind words. And you can't do that if you hadn't got it. Wayne out at the grocery store, and this little man in front of us counting out his money. Actually, it was his son's money. He asked the boy, he said they had a few groceries, the basic things. I watched. And he asked his son, he said, son, now give me the money. Well, he must have thought the boy had two $20 bills, but he only had one, so they didn't have enough money. So they were about $12 short. And he's trying to decide what to put back. Now, see, I'm a blessing. Because I've been blessed. Because I've received from God's open hand. I can help him because I've got it. I said, I'll pay the rest for you. He looked at me like, where did you come from? So I said, Wayne, give me the money, and we paid it. I've seen the day when Wayne and I, somebody had given us a $5 bill, we would have leaped for joy. We didn't have it. You know what? We didn't know God would send it. We didn't know He'd prosper you so you could have a successful journey through life and be a blessing. I remember when the choir had a big party. We were both in the choir. My father's a church musician. Wayne and I didn't buy tickets. They were $15 a piece. We didn't have $30. We didn't have anywhere to get $30. And someone come and said, I've paid for your tickets. And they had to pick that up in the spirit because we hadn't said anything. They said, you pay me back one day. And they bought our tickets. What a blessing. What a blessing. You see, I was a part of that choir. Wayne and I wanted to be participants. We didn't have the money. But God said, if you'd give, I found out how to get money. I found out how to receive from the hand of God. He said, Becky, if you'd give. You know, if we were talking to God today, face-to-face encounter, He'd say the same thing today He said yesterday. He'd say, Becky, if you'd give, it'd be given to you. Men would give to you. I like that. I found out already that it works. The other day, I had my nails done. That's kind of vain, I guess, but it's not illegal or immoral. It breaks no law. And besides that, I've got the money. But I've been where you couldn't even buy a $3 ball of nail polish. We didn't have it. We didn't know how to get it. We didn't know God wanted us to be blessed. We didn't know His hand was open to us. We didn't know He wanted us to have a daily load. We didn't know He wanted us to support ministries. We couldn't hardly tithe. We held on to every tithe check as long as we could, saying, oh God, oh God. Don't laugh, you've been there. Little lady's doing my nails, said, where'd you get that diamond ring? It's a nice one. See, I'm talking about God said, I'll load you up. Load you up, load you up, load you up. Why? So you could be covetous? No. So you could be greedy? No. So you could be lifted up in pride? No, so you could agree with the Father. You know, He always says, all that I have is thine. So anybody that comes along and says, anything I have is yours. Anything I have is yours, sir. Anything I have is yours, ma'am. She said, where'd you get that ring? I said, a lady gave it to me. That's the truth. I didn't buy it. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. Oh. He loves you. Says the Lord is good, not bad. Poverty's bad. Sickness is bad. I went to visit a lady in the hospital. She has cancer. I said, did you know God wants you well? She says, I knew that. Well, I was kind of surprised because I didn't figure she knew that. I really didn't think she knew. She said, I know that. She said, that's why I've hung on so long. Because I know if He wants me well, He'll do something for me. And the minute she said, if, I realized she's never looked in the hand of God. Because when you look at God's open hands, they say, I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, the physician. It's in His hand. I called one lady on the phone. I said, what are you doing? And she said, oh, I'm just talking about the children, telling God they'll be taught of the Lord, telling God they'll have great peace, telling God they'll have wisdom and knowledge 10 times stronger than their contemporaries. You know why she was speaking those words? She looked in the hand of God. And it says, Becky, your seed will be mighty upon the earth. I look at my children and I say, come here, mighty one. They're mighty upon the earth. It's in the hand of God. Now, there are many reasons that God blesses you. The primary ones, He loves you. And you know He loved you when you turned your back on Him. That's what's so phenomenal. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Now, if I'm talking to you and you turn your back on me, I'd wonder about you. I mean, number one, that's rude. And I read in 1 Corinthians 13, Christians are never rude. So I'm never rude. You're not enthused about that? I am never rude. If I wanted to give you something and you turned your back on me, that's what we did of God. He said, I can give you life and life more abundantly. I says, we turned our back. It goes on to say, we hid as it were our faces. Well, little kids do that, especially if they're shy. They hide their face, you know, turn inside out and hide behind their mother. And it says, God commended or showed or demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. It didn't bother him that you weren't interested in a blessing. He said, I'm going to do it anyway. Oh, I'm so glad he didn't quit. I'm so glad he didn't give up. I'm so glad when he saw I didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost or speaking in tongues, he said, oh, well, she could have had it, but she doesn't understand. I'm out of here. Now, see, he keeps calling into the darkness. Ignorance is dark. Lack of knowledge is dark. He kept calling to the darkness then, Becky, Becky, Becky. I didn't know who was calling. But he kept calling. Says, we love him. Why? He first loved us. 1 John. And says, behold, what manner of love is this? Means, what kind of love is this? That you'd love the unlovely, the godless, the strengthless, the one who hid their face, turned their back. Says, we esteemed him not. We placed no value on the risen Son of God. And he kept calling. He does that in the lives of Christians. He wants to prosper you. He wants to see you through. It says, come boldly for a throne of grace, not a throne of judgment. See, sometimes we approach God like he's going to say, you did what? You said what? We said, the Lord is good and his mercy endures. The Lord is good and his mercy endures. The Lord is good and his forever. It doesn't matter when I call, how far I stray. When I turn in God's direction, he said, go ahead and boldly tell him I'm going to help you. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13 says, go ahead and boldly tell him I'm going to help you. Years ago, Wayne was in charge of the artistic arrangements for a youth banquet. He's a very talented artist. And they gave him a team of teenagers to help him. Well, they were interested in the music and the potato chips and a number of other things, including one another. But they weren't too much interested in the arrangements for the banquet. They weren't a help. Now, what if I didn't know if God's going to help me or not? If I had to sing, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. If I had to drag through life till I get to the other side. No, the songwriter said, I know God's going to fix it for you. I found out he fixes things. Now come. We were in Moscow this last year. What a blessing. With Doug Knight. What a blessing. And it was cold, and I like cold, so you don't have to feel sorry for me. I like cold. I had on enough layers to weigh 350 pounds. And we walked to the subway. The streets were iced over. And I'm a Floridian, born in the Winter Haven Hospital. So I've now only seen snow twice. That's the twice it snowed here. That didn't count, did it? So I'm not looking around. I'm watching my feet because he told me to be very careful. We had to go over some rocks. And everything was iced over, this gray, thick, slick ice. You know, you can get hurt. So I'm watching my feet. And Wayne's in front, and Doug's leading the way. So we came to a spot where there was a lot of ice, and I could see the gray. And I thought, I might need help here. Oh, thank God for help. Why is it we hang back? Oh, no, I don't need any help. Your nose is running. Your sinuses are stopped up. You got a tissue in each hand. Oh, no, I don't need any help. When I turned around, I thought I might need some help to see where Wayne Cumbie was. That's how he was standing. And I put my hand in his, and he lifted me across the ice. Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. For millenniums of time, Almighty God has stood with his hands open. He didn't open them yesterday. He doesn't open them the day you call upon him. In 1 Timothy, it says, grace was prepared before the foundation of the world. God has had his hands open, yes, calling out into the darkness, saying, come on, Becky, come on. Now, I studied praise last year, went through the Psalms, read every verse that said praise. I was so amazed. It said we praise him in the congregation. It says we praise him in the assembly of the elders. It says we praise him among the nations. Wasn't a single verse that said we praise him in the closet. You got your seatbelts fastened, don't you? I don't want you to roll out of your chair and get hurt when I punch you real hard, okay? Every reference to praise was vocal and in a public place. In other words, everywhere I go, they know something's happening to her. What's wrong with her? That's the way it looks to the world. I was in the mall. I'm not paying attention. I'm not much of a shopper. I'm a great catalog person. Open the catalog, call the toll-free number. I can do that. I usually have a stack of toll-free numbers waiting for my attention. But I was down at the mall, and I was just singing, Yale basso manteca, male do passo mana. I'm not paying attention. Yeso manto calese. And a lady answered me. She responded in tongues to what I'd said in tongues. I mean, with the same, she knew what I said. It's what I'm telling you. But I didn't know what I said. So then I didn't know what she said because of what I said. And I said, oh, Holy Ghost, we're in trouble. I said, I was just singing. And she said, you were what? I said, I was just singing. My mind, I exited in a hurry too. Before she told me something else. That I couldn't answer. I will bless thee, O Lord, everywhere you go. Why? Because the Lord is good and his mercy. Ma, you gonna keep that quiet? No. Gonna keep that to yourself? No. Just in the quiet recesses of your heart. No way. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now don't be obnoxious, overbearing. But be Godlike. Yes. And everywhere you go, somebody ought to say to you, you must have inherited $1 million today. What in the world has made you so happy? You can say, the Lord is good and his mercy endures. See, mercy is when you don't get what you did deserve. You deserve the worst. God said, no, no, it's not the way I function. If I know how Almighty God functions, if I know the Lord is good and his mercy endures, if I know, it says the Psalm said the Lord's gracious. You know what that word gracious means? The only way I ever heard that word was a little lady that always said, oh, goodness gracious. Have you heard that? Yeah. It means you're inclined to do something good, you're inclined to do a favor. It means if I needed anything and you're the gracious one, you'd be the first person I'd go to. because you're the person that'd probably do it. Now, gracious people are on top of things. They're thinkers. That's the person at the office that instantly thinks we need to get Mabel Flowers. She's been really sick. Now, they come to you and said, we're going to send Mabel Flowers. Would you like to give some money? And you pull out your $5 bill. Because you're a Christian, Christian are generous people, and you represent God, you'd give her a 10. Right? Say, I would. That was pathetic. Say, I would. Give 10.
Give 10.
The biggest you have, you understand. But now you weren't gracious. You were just going along with the flow. The gracious person is always the person who's the first to think of something we could do here. The scripture says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong, not to show himself weak. It doesn't take any strength from heaven to watch you die sick. It doesn't take any strength to watch you go broke, to watch them repossess your car. It said God looking for a place to show himself strong.
Yes.
Now he's looking. He's watching. That's what you do over a little kid if you're babysitting. You look and you watch. When Ashley was little, we finally put alarms on the doors. She was an escape artist. And if you went to the refrigerator, I mean, you didn't have to desert her but 30 to 45 seconds, and she's gone. You'd hear the door go, ding, ding, ding. It was great. That's what the Holy Ghost does in my heart. When my thinking's wrong, I listen to my heart, and he's in there going, ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Won't you pay attention? What says the Lord is good? The Lord is gracious. God loves you.
Amen.
Has mercy on you. That's four good reasons that he wants you to be blessed. Well, why don't you just go ahead and put your hand in his and say, I'll have that. There's no cost involved. Unless being a generous giver is painful to you. Unless walking in health is not what you wanted. Unless obedient children who serve God all the days of their life is not what you wanted. See, he's standing there. He said, come on. Come on. You could be a blessing. And all I have to do, grace is always free, is put my hand in God's. It's not that I stick my hand out and then God sticks his out. Are you getting that? Grace was from the foundation of the world. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And he's calling. And just like that prodigal son when he said, I'm going home. He said, even the servants have enough to eat. I am going home. It says the father ran to him and met him. Did you know God will meet you over halfway? You know, before you turn the corner, and he can see you coming. He's on the road heading your direction. So here she comes. Here she comes. She's coming home.